Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
All right.
What you want?
Let's get it going, boys, huh?
Be on the dime.
How about we get it going today on a Wednesday, huh?
Me go. Go. Call me what you want, but you can't call me broke.
Money.
Pull up with that chopper and a telescope. Got 50 chickens in with me running around in my city.
Yo, rich homie trapping out Bentleys. Rich homie trapping out Bentleys.
We're making a motion picture. Move. Michelangelo. Move. I'm seeing the snakes in the grass.
Shh.
I got the antidote. Try to come juggling, I'm busting your cantaloupe.
Antidote.
I'm trapping out of the bando. Still got tools like Rambo.
Bando.
I'm feeling like Larry Houdini.
Houdini.
The power just hit it, you see it. The plugger be here any second.
Blow. It's a beautiful fucking Wednesday, baby.
What? We losing a bag? Gotta go to the stand.
Ad-lib Wednesday.
19. I run it from the tag. Put it on my mama. No flat, no brand. Young nigga been had cash.
Do I look like I listen to music like this?
Go. Call me what you want, but you can't call me broke.
Money.
Pull up with that chopper and a telescope. Got 50 chickens in with me.
I don't know around them, man. Young rich homie trapping out Bentleys. Michelangelo. I'm seeing the snakes in the grass. I got the antidote. Okay. So it's Win Wednesday. You know what I'm saying? It's Ad-Lib Wednesday. This is the toughest day of the week to come up with a show for you guys. I'm not gonna hide that fact. Monday Night Football has played itself out. We're in the middle of the week waiting for the next slate of games to break down and talk about with you guys. So we got to get really creative on Wednesday. It's Ad-Lib Wednesday. Got a fresh zin in my lip. We're ready to rock and roll. Make sure you pound that like button, pound that subscribe button, so that we can keep rolling with our program here today and for the rest of time. Okay, we've got some college football we're going to talk about today. Maybe some NFL trade deadlines. I feel like we're so far, literally so far ahead because we go live every day. We're so far ahead of some of the media talking points that we already talk about it before it's mainstream. That's how I feel about it, man. So kind of blew our load with the trade deadline yesterday. I saw right after the show ended that the Patriots moved Kyle Duggar, a safety, over to the Steelers. I thought that was an interesting move because Pittsburgh, with their heralded, highly paid defensive backfield, to make a move like that, and I think New England moved somebody else as well. New England Patriots at what, 5-2? 6-2 or something? Look to be sellers right now. And I stated this yesterday. I don't feel like the trade deadline is going to be as active as everybody would like to think. I don't think my Cincinnati Bengals are going to be as active in the trade deadline as some of our fans would like to hope. Trey Hendrickson is going to stay put. He wasn't practicing today. Logan Wilson's on a freaking exercise bike in a hoodie. The only guy on defense with a C on his chest. It's looking real bad in Cincinnati, which is exactly what makes me think they're going to find some way to beat the Bears on Sunday and bring hope back to all the fans in Cincinnati. I truly believe that. I will not take the bait. This organization is inept. We've ranted about this ad nauseum. Sometimes I think that, oh my God, this is a Bengals show. And it might just be a Bengals show, an SEC show. But there's other stuff going on. You know, football's football, man. And people ask me, they say, hey, Duke, why you spend all your time coaching Pop Warner? Why you talk about going to high school football games on a Friday night instead of going down to the club or the local saloon to look at some good-looking women? And I say, because I fucking love ball, man. I love ball of all kinds, of all shapes, of all sizes. I was about to say something about women there, but I'm a hold my tongue. I had a really interesting opinion come across my desk about women. Because I know a lot of my audience is male. I know a lot of cats out there are trying to figure out the dating scene, trying to figure out how they can get a nice lady that cooks for you and takes care of you. And it's tough with the ladies because you want an attractive woman to be your woman. And I think for men, when they're sitting across from a lady that's really good looking, it's really hard to spit the truth sometimes because you want to tell them what they want to hear. And the thing with a really good looking woman that is fact is that nobody of the opposite sex has really ever told them the truth in their entire life. They're telling them what they want to hear because they want to get laid. And so people ask there all the time. This is a discussion as old as time. Why are good-looking women so nutty? And it's because no one's told them the damn truth. Ever. You know, these ladies, they hit puberty. And not only are the boys in class looking at them a certain way, but their dads are looking at them a certain way now. It's fucked up. But it is what it is. And so all of a sudden, and I've never been a woman. I guess I could be one if I wanted to. I've never been a woman, but I would imagine when you hit puberty and that happens, you gain a sort of power that you didn't really earn. And with power comes great responsibility. And part of that power, and I think about this a lot once this show rises to stardom, once this show elevates itself and we have all this success, is probably going to be more of the same. You got to, like, if you're a hot lady and you're, you know, a guy with some bread and a little bit of clout, I'd imagine it's hard to not surround yourself with yes men and people that'll tell you what you want to hear as opposed to the truth. So it's just kind of something I was thinking about. I think a really interesting little hack that I found to be helpful when sitting across from a really good looking lady is to just imagine that she has chlamydia. You go on a date with a 9, with a 10, and you're saying to yourself, damn, dude, dog, I'm nervous as fuck right now. Just think about if that girl sitting across from you had chlamydia. How would you treat her? There'd be a little bit more groundedness, a little bit more clarity in your dealings with that lady. And it's realistic, too. I'm not... It's not realistic, but it is realistic. Because who would I be to sit here and tell you, just imagine that you're sitting across from a beautiful lady and it's just one of your buddies. She'll never be one of your boys, one of your homeboys. So I just thought that was an interesting little thought redirect to envision that. And that has helped me tremendously. Okay, so we get off on a little tangent here. We got a $54 million buyout for LSU's Brian Kelly. Now, I saw a table, a figure that of pre-Halloween college football hirings dating back to about 2011, I believe. And this season, by far, has had the most pre-Halloween firings in college football at 10. 10 head coaches have been fired, and we have plenty more on the hot seat. Auburn, Hugh Freeze over at Auburn, Mark Stoops over at Kentucky, even though I don't think Mark Stoops is ever going to be fired. I think Mark Stoops could do a lot of terrible things and still have his job there. But I saw something really interesting regarding Louisiana Governor Jeff Landry. He told reporters today that LSU Athletic Director Scott Woodward won't be involved in selecting the Tigers' new football coach, saying he'd let President Donald Trump do it before Woodward. The Tigers fired Brian Kelly on Sunday, a day after his team lost to Texas A&M handily. Kelly had his 34-14 record in four seasons at LSU at 64 years old, winning just under 71% of his games. The Tigers have lost three of their last four games after climbing to number 3 in the AP poll earlier in this season. I think it's really, like, you think about how important college football is to some of these southern communities. Places like Baton Rouge, places like Tuscaloosa, even places like Birmingham doesn't even really have teams other than Samford and UAB. They care about this shit. And so you're going to tell me that football is this important to the state of Louisiana that the governor is speaking to the press on behalf of the LSU football program. He said, maybe we'll let President Trump pick it. He loves winners. He says, you know, I'm not going to be picking the next coach, but I can promise you we're going to pick a coach. And we're going to make sure that that coach is successful. We're going to make sure that he's compensated properly. And we're going to put metrics on it. Because
hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now, with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Because I'm tired of rewarding failure in this country and then leaving the taxpayers to foot the bill. Oh, my God. That's incredible, isn't it? Governor of Louisiana, Jeff Landry. And he criticized the current LSU AD, Scott Woodward, is it? Yeah, Scott criticized him for agreeing to a 10-year, $95 million contract with Kelly that included incentives and which left LSU on the book for a $54 million buyout under the terms of the deal. Landry also criticized Woodward for agreeing to a similar one-sided coaching contract when he was Texas A&M's AD. The Aggies owed football coach Jimbo Fisher, Samford University alum, by the way, more than $76 million when they fired him in November 2023, which was nearly triple the highest known coaching contract buyout at a public school at the time. I'm still trying to figure out who these guys' agents are. I read something about an agent by the name of Jimmy Sexton. Apparently, he's the most powerful guy in college football. They were saying he was the most powerful guy in college football in 2015, 10 years ago. Jimmy Sexton, he's an agent at CAA, Creative Artists Agency, which is one of the biggest sports agent houses in the land. And this guy is everybody's agent. He's Kalen DeBoer's agent. He's Kirby Smart's agent. I guess he's Dabo Sweeney's agent. He's everybody's agent. And he's getting his 3 or 4% on every single one of these damn buyouts. I'll tell you that much. And it's definitely guys like Jimmy Sexton who have ushered in this era of giant buyouts. And listen, I ain't against it. Because if the school agrees to it, they obviously think it's a good deal. The school's probably saying, well, we're not going to need to pay this buyout because you're going to have all this success. And the agent and the coach, meanwhile, are sitting there licking their chops saying, oh, my God. Can you imagine? Either way, we getting rich, homie. We getting breaded, son. Either way. And so I read something about this guy, Jimmy Sexton, on Twitter or something, and he's been the most powerful guy in college football for probably longer than a decade. So I thought that was really interesting. I was wondering who started this trend of brokering all these buyouts. And it seems to be guys like Jimmy Sexton, these agents, doing a hell of a job. They're getting their boys paid, regardless of if they win or not. Okay? So a lot of people are talking about culture fit and that was the main reason behind Brian Kelly's firing. I saw a video when Brian Kelly took the head man job at Louisiana State University and he spoke, I believe, at halftime of an LSU basketball game. And in that video, it seemed like Coach Kelly was faking a bit of a southern accent. Bad start. He was talking about all the inevitable championships they were going to win. I'm sure he thought that. With the money for the roster construction and a big behemoth program like LSU, I think it's fair to say that the fit was never right with Brian Kelly and LSU. I think that's fair to say. A lot of people are contesting whether that's a lazy take or not, the cultural aspect of it. Do you have to talk like people from Louisiana to connect with them? Coach O, LaRose, Indiana native, or sorry, Louisiana, not Indiana native, remarked on this. This is coming from Coach O's mouth, who had probably the greatest college football team of all time in 2019. That's something that we need to open up a debate about. The greatest college football team of all time. If you had asked me a few years ago who the greatest college football team of all time was, I'd have to look at 2008 Florida Gators. There's definitely some Alabama teams in there. But the 2019 LSU Tigers in football, coached by Coach O, is without a doubt in my mind the greatest college football team ever assembled. If you look at successful pros, they had it. If you look at explosive plays, it seemed like every two or three plays they were ripping somebody for a ridiculous touchdown. That 2019 LSU team, when you watch the film, to me, in my young life, is the greatest college football team I've ever seen. And Coach O works for them. And Coach O said to the media, not yesterday, somebody asked him, would you be interested in that job? He said, hell yeah. Hell yeah, I'd be interested. Give me a call. We'll call away. Still got my home down the Baton Rouge. You know? And it's like, why would you not? If you're LSU, and we'll talk about potential replacements, who the Vegas betting odds favor to be the next head coach of the LSU Tigers. We'll talk about that. But I don't know why you don't take a look at Coach O to come back to Baton Rouge. He's still got a home there. He's a perfect fit. If you talk about cultural fit, he's the perfect cultural fit. There's nobody that's a better cultural fit to be the coach at LSU than Coach O. Nobody. And then you look at the fact that he had the greatest team, in my opinion, in college football history in 2019. I think, and I've heard this from other cats, and I have to go back and watch it to confirm it for myself, but I've heard that the ABC broadcast of the LSU game, the Texas LSU Texas A&M game in the fourth quarter, was pretty derogatory toward the state of LSU. And what other people are saying is that might have affected the move to fire Kelly with such velocity as it did. This ABC broadcast. And I'm telling you guys, I've mentioned this on the show plenty of times, in any sport, the commentary is so important in how it affects how you perceive the game or the fight. You know, and I came to that realization when my friend Sean O'Malley was talking about his first title fight with Mirab Dvashovavili. And he believes he won 3 out of 5 rounds, and I corroborate that. I think he won 3 out of 5 rounds. He is my friend, so I'm biased, but I do believe he won 3 out of 5 rounds. And the reason that a lot of people didn't believe that, according to my friend Sean, was the commentary on the fight and how it affected people's perception of it. So that kind of opened my eyes to the commentary is a factor when you're watching any sporting event. And even on a subconscious level, it's going to affect how you perceive the game. So sometimes, and some commentators are a pleasure to listen to, a pleasure to have calling the game. And frankly, I'd love to have a job like that one day. It's part of why I do this, if we're looking at things that I would like to gain from doing this. But so it really does affect it. And some people in the media are saying that the fourth quarter call of the LSU-Texas A&M game is part of what exacerbated this Brian Kelly firing at such speed. So we'll go back to what I was saying about the cultural misfit. Some people are saying that that's a lazy take, that Brian Kelly wasn't a cultural fit at LSU. I don't think it's a lazy take. And the people saying that it's a lazy take say, well, Nick Saban wasn't a fit culturally. Les Miles wasn't a fit culturally. But I disagree. I think Les Miles was a great culture fit for LSU. I think Nick Saban was a great culture fit for LSU. I watched a YouTube video last night of a big cat drill at LSU. And this is why, if you're watching this and you haven't subscribed yet, that you need to subscribe. Because if I had a producer, I'd have him throw this John right on screen for you right here to watch. But it's just me. So subscribe. But anyways, there's a big cat drill at LSU. And what's a big cat drill? You circle the whole team around and you pick two guys to square off. Why the fuck are there balloons on my motherfucking screen, boy? Can somebody please tell me what part of Streamlabs triggers that? I hate that. I hate fun. Feeling grumpy today. But they had this big cat drill, and you line one offensive guy, one defensive guy across from each other, and you just see who's got the willpower, who's got the strength, who's got the grit to drive a motherfucker back. Big cat drill. In high school, we called it Bucks drill. You had a problem with somebody, you say, hey, motherfucker, Bucks drill, cocksucker, right now. Let's get it. And so Les Miles is orchestrating this shit. The team's juiced, and he's going, Wilson, Alexander. And then they line up, and they drive each other back. They're fighting. You know, there's a couple fights. He's having to hold people back. He's like, get your ass back. Get back. And everybody's, woo. And so I see a video like that, man, and I'm thinking, Les Miles is not a cultural fit at LSU. Kiss my ass. He definitely was. Nick Saban, not a cultural fit at LSU. He's a staple in the South. He's a West Virginia guy. But the mentality of a West Virginia guy, a blue-collar West Virginia guy, is very similar to that of a football-loving Southerner. Louisiana or not. I do agree with the fact that Nick Saban's an accountability guy. He's a lunch pail, show up to work kind of guy. And people in the South love that. They respond to that. And Les Miles had a long, good career there.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
I think if you are accountable, Brian Kelly was not always accountable. And as a head coach, I think that's the most important thing, accountability. You never throw your players under the bus. You always take blame when things are going bad, and you always delegate praise and credit when things are going good. I don't think Brian Kelly did a good job of that. And I think that's why it wasn't a cultural fit. You don't necessarily have to talk like the people of Louisiana, but it helps. Look at how they love Coach O. I think Coach O is the best fit that LSU could possibly bring back. Will they? Let's take a look. Well, let's hold off on that, because I got more. I got more on Brian Kelly. From the early weird pronunciation of family mishap to calling out LSU fans for being spoiled, Kelly never seemed to understand how to authentically connect with the LSU fan base. This is true. When Kelly arrived Sunday morning, intent on making staff changes, his fingerprint to get into the LSU football operations center didn't work. That is brutal. They move fast in sports at a high level. I was always hella paranoid for whatever reason. Felt like I always did a good job, but I was always still paranoid working in the NFL that one day I would show up to work for whatever reason and I'd scan my magnet thing to get in the gate or get in the facility and that the thing wouldn't open for me. I remember that Jamal Adams clip where he wasn't really fired, he wasn't really cut from the Jets, but he scanned his thing and it didn't work. That's when you work in sports, trust me, I've been there. That paranoia is real because they move that fast. So every day I was in sales, and so I felt like my numbers spoke for myself for themselves, but I was always a little paranoid that I would pull up to the Indianapolis Colts facility and I'd scan my little magnet card and that something wouldn't open and that I'd find out that I was fired. I think that's something that people in the sports business, whether it's coaching, whether it's playing, whether it's on the business side like I was, I feel like that's a paranoia that those types of folks would share with me. And that happened to Brian Kelly on Sunday morning. His fingerprint did not work when he tried to get into the facility. Wow. This is something that's new as well. It says here in my outline that Brian Kelly worked with a Washington, D.C. based image consultant this offseason to try to improve his public persona. Listen, man, if you're having to hire people to make sure that they like, to make sure that the public likes you, you're not likable. It's very simple. It's very simple. Brian Kelly is not a likable guy for whatever reason. And I hear a lot of former college football players saying that football coaches in college are largely not great people. I don't agree with that notion, but there are definitely some bad apples out there. And listen, man, if you got to hire a PR team to make sure that the public likes you, number one, you know you're not likable. And the thing about being likable is that you can be likable whenever you want. But instead of actually looking inward and trying to figure out the issue with why people don't like you, you want to go and hire a PR team. I had something else on that, but I blanked. That is crazy. Try doing the right things. Right? Try looking inward. Try taking accountability at your fucking press conferences. Instead of throwing your players under the bus. That's becoming more and more of an issue in sports today. Guys just throwing their boys under the bus. You always take the blame, especially as a coach. You always take the blame when things are going bad. And you always delegate praise and credit when things are going good. That is the playbook. Anybody that doesn't understand that coaching at this level doesn't deserve to coach at this level. And I wonder if Brian Kelly's even going to have a job anywhere after this. But he goes to Washington, D.C. to hire a PR team to help with his public persona. Hey, if you need a PR team to make sure people like you, it's fucking over. It's over. It's going to make people like you even less. And there were also questions about Brian Kelly's work ethic. For as much attention, this is what my outline says, for as much attention as Hugh Freeze has gotten for his love of golf, insiders believe Kelly was on the golf course even more. Sources questioned Kelly's time commitment and the frequency in which he was out of the office, with one source saying the players see he's not bought in. I've heard this about Kentucky's coach, Mark Stoops, as well. This guy's got, I knew a guy that was caddying, I believe, over at the Lexington Country Club in Lexington, Kentucky. And he sent a picture into the group chat that Mark Stoops, Kentucky's head coach, had a tee time around 9 a.m. and the Cats kicked off around 3:30 that day. I'm not saying that affected anything, but I am saying, look, maybe you need a round of golf to get your head right for the work that has to be done later in the day. I know I love a back nine and breakfast at 6:30 a.m. on a Monday morning to get the tone right for the week. I'm not saying that playing golf is a bad thing. And that seems to be a complaint about presidents. That seems to be a complaint about head coaches. I can go down the list of leadership figures that have caught flack over the years for playing some golf. I don't see the problem with it. But let's say you're playing every day and you're the head coach of the LSU Tigers. That's kind of an issue. I feel bad playing more than once a week, and I'm far from the head coach of the LSU Tigers. I always try to flip my hair the wrong way. I look at myself on screen, and I'm like, damn, I got to flip my hair back, and then I flip it the wrong way because everything's reversed. But anyways, so who are the top candidates to replace Brian Kelly? Apparently, I think the straw that broke the horse's back with Kelly getting fired was that he wanted to make changes to his staff, and the powers that be said, no, we're not making any changes. You are the problem. And yet again, you are trying to throw people under the bus instead of taking accountability. Lane Kiffin is the hottest name, but questions remain about whether he'd leave Ole Miss. And I do not think Lane Kiffin is going to leave Ole Miss. Unless Alabama's job somehow came open, Lane Kiffin will not be leaving Oxford, Mississippi. That is my take. He would not leave. He would leave for LSU before he left for Florida, but he's not going to leave Oxford for LSU either. I'm telling you, the only job in America that Lane would leave Ole Miss for is Alabama, and for good reason. There's a lot of good reasons. If you're a college football fan, you know the history behind Lane Kiffin in Alabama. That's where he got his chops, working under Nick Saban as the offensive coordinator. I always think about those plays where Lane would see the deep ball open when he was Alabama's OC. He'd see Devontae Smith open downfield. He'd just throw up his clipboard and run down the sideline. Looks like Marcus Freeman is also a top candidate for the LSU job, despite LSU just failing with a former Notre Dame head coach. John Sumrall, the head coach of the Tulane Green Wave, could also be a sleeper pick. And John Sumrall from Tulane is actually the betting favorite in Vegas right now to become the next head coach of the LSU Tigers. Right behind him is Buffalo Bills offensive coordinator Joe Brady. I think this would be a great hire for the LSU Tigers, and many in Baton Rouge seem to agree, as Joe Brady was orchestrating the record-breaking offense that we talked about earlier in the show for LSU back in 2019. It's pretty easy to do when you got Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, Justin Jefferson. But LSU fans seem to have an affinity for their former offensive coordinator, Joe Brady, and for good reason. I think LSU fans would be fired up about that hire. Right behind him in the Vegas odds at 4-1, Lane Kiffin. Again, don't think he's going to take that at all. I think you'd be wasting your money to take that bet. And then behind Lane would be James Franklin at 6-1. Look, Lane Kiffin is probably going to make the college football playoff with the Ole Miss Rebels this season. First time in school history, by the way. He's 51-19 at Ole Miss and has them positioned to make this playoff this year. Obviously, he's highly coveted by Florida. Florida offered Lane record-breaking money. But after the win against Oklahoma on Saturday, Lane Kiffin appeared to leave the field and pull a Jordan Belfort Wolf of Wall Street moment, saying, "I'm not fucking leaving." What did he say after that? Something about a helicopter. They're going to have to. So here's the sticky on Marcus Freeman, okay? He's 38-12 since taking over at Notre Dame. He's earning 80. Oh, my God. I saw a dollar sign and thought it was 8. I thought it said 87.4 million this season. I said, no. No, it's 7.4 million he's earning this year. And let him do a national championship game. Summerall, let's learn more about the Tulane head coach that seems to be the number one candidate to be the next LSU head coach. John Summerall, not too far away in New Orleans over there at Tulane, 38-10 as an FBS head coach and 15-6 at Tulane, positioning them for a possible American Conference title. Summerall knows the Louisiana recruiting scene, having been an assistant at Tulane from 2012 to 2014. I could see how, you know, maybe you'd want to get a little cute, get a little creative with this coaching search if you're LSU. Man, Lane Kiffin's not leaving Ole Miss for anywhere unless it's Alabama, and that job's not coming open. Marcus Freeman is not the guy that you want at that job, and that is my SEC bias speaking. You do not want Marcus Freeman as a head coach at LSU. It would be another misfire.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
And what's crazy, I didn't even know the governor of Louisiana had this much say in the coaching search at LSU. They said the AD Woodward's going to have no hand. If you're just tuning in the show, we talked about this earlier. Louisiana Governor Jeff Landry spoke to the media today about the LSU head coaching search. This is how important football is in the South, that your governor sees it as a big enough issue to go to the media and talk about the head coaching search for your athletic program's football team. Maybe they get Trump in there to pick the next head coach at LSU, dude. That is crazy. But what's even crazier is that the athletic director of the school, according to the governor, and I don't know what kind, I mean, he's the governor of the state. I guess he could tell people to piss on command if he really wanted to. I run Louisiana. That's what Jeff Landry's saying. And he does. He was elected to run it. But I didn't know that the governor was going to be of Louisiana was going to be elected to dictate who's the next head football coach at Louisiana State University. He said that they're going to bring on a committee. I have no idea how the governor has this much of a say. But again, football in the South just means more. Everybody on Twitter crying about SEC bias. It's real because the SEC is the creme de la creme. Get off my nuts. All this SEC bias bullshit. We'll see who wins the national championship in January. And yes, I grew up in Lexington, Kentucky. I know that Kentucky's never been that type of program. I know that being an SEC fan means riding on the shoulders of Bama. I know that. But it's still fun to poke and prod. People get triggered about this lately, all this SEC bias. We'll see. We will see. You know, fuck around and find out. But anyway. So I think the best fits for LSU to be the next head coach, and he's not even listed in the Vegas odds, is Coach O. I think he's the best fit by far. Make sure my mic's still working. Test. Coach O, number one. Joe Brady, the OC of the Bills, number two. Come in and be the head man. And then number three would be John Summerall out of Tulane. That would be a bit of a kind of cute type of hire. They'd be trying to get cute, creative, kind of see if this shit would play out the right way with the, you know. Because at Tulane, what, he's only 15-6? So we'll have to see. This weekend we got Vandy at Texas. That might be the most interesting game of the college football slate this week. You got Arch Manning with a concussion. Apparently he's not going to play. Some people in the college football media believe that Texas will still win this game even without Arch, arguing that Texas cannot afford to lose another game or else they won't make the playoff. Vandy, to me, can afford to maybe lose one and still get in. But a lot of folks in the college football media believe that Texas will win this game. And I'm not so sure. Texas has been so streaky. I'm kind of putting myself on the spot to make a prediction here. Maybe we can masticate on this and talk more about it later in the week. But a lot of people are saying that Diego Pavia hype is inflated and that the media is propping him up and it's kind of this self-sustaining, non-merit-based situation where Pavia is not as good of a player as the media is making him out to be, but he's got this big personality and he's an SEC quarterback, so the media has something to gain from propping him up, and then the whole cycle sustains itself. I think the guy's play has spoken. Yeah, he goes on nightcap wearing a chain. He goes in front of the media at a presser wearing a chain. And a lot of people are saying the guy's not really likable. I don't know if it's because he's friends with Theo Von that I kind of have a more positive interpretation of Pavia. I think he's just a result of what this new college football landscape has created. People are saying he's Manziel, but not as good and all this stuff. We'll see. If Vanderbilt goes to Austin and wins this game against Texas, you're talking about top five without question. Oh, ESPN, they just cover all the SEC teams, and then because the SEC teams get all the coverage, they get ranked high, and then they get ranked high, and then they get more media coverage, and all this bullshit. It's like, let the play do the talking, Big Ten fans. Let the play, let Daddy do the talking. Let the deepest conference do the talking. Not the Big Ten. The top-heavy Big Ten, they're calling it. I'm trying to use the Trump alliteration, making fun of people. The weak Wildcats, the Kentucky Wildcats, the failing football program in the SEC, the weak Wildcats. I'm trying to come up with something like that for the Big Ten. Texas looks to be about a 2.5-point favorite in that game. So we'll keep our eye on that. I don't think I'm going to make a prediction just yet. I might have to think on that more. Oklahoma at Tennessee. Again, a couple teams that are at risk of missing the playoff if they drop another game. I got Tennessee in that one. I think that's an easier call to make. I think there's concerns about Oklahoma's pass defense after that Ole Miss game. And I think John Mateer's thumb injury on his throwing hand is still affecting how he's playing right now. But, you know, it again, it's an elimination event of sorts for these two games. Vandy at Texas, Oklahoma at Tennessee. Four teams kind of inside the polls who sit behind A&M and Bama for that title picture. And Oklahoma's only 6-8 under Brent Venerables coming off a loss. Got Miami at Miami at SMU. I've watched Miami. I haven't watched much of SMU. 11.5-point spread. First, this is my outline. First ever. What the fuck does that mean? First ever fall don't lie tour game at SMU. What in the world? I do think Miami will show you what kind of team they really are in this game. That's a big deduction I can make, even though I haven't watched SMU. 11.5-point spread. We'll see how Miami responds. I think, what was their last game? I remember that Friday night game against Louisville, but I feel like they've played again since then. I can't put my finger on who. Again, a lot of media people are going to refute the fact that their program is SEC biased. I'm telling you guys right now, this program is SEC biased for good reason. It's the best conference top to bottom in the land. Sorry. What else do we got? Covered Brian Kelly, coaching carousel we covered. Playoff picture. Look, Ohio State and Indiana, they're two Big Ten programs, I'll give it to them. They're emerging as the class of this college football playoff picture. I will give them that. Give me other teams in the Big Ten, though, that have a chance to do that. There's not many. But there are more in the SEC than just Alabama and Texas A&M. Ole Miss could do it. Tennessee can make a run. Vandy could do it. That's how many teams? Four or five right there? Okay. Yeah, and we covered the accountability angle with Brian Kelly. I think it was very simple with Brian Kelly. I just don't think the guy does well at taking accountability. And as a head coach, you got to be creme de la creme at doing that. You got to be the best at taking blame when things are going bad. And Brian Kelly just failed to do that time and time again. You wonder why he ain't likable. You know what I mean? Yeah, I mean, not much going on with the trade deadline. The Bengals will not trade Trey Hendrickson. The Bengals will probably not make any moves in this trade before the trade deadline. And probably finish the year 7-10, 8-9, get a middle draft pick. And get on down the road with the same old shit. It's really, and I got to piss, so I really might let you guys go here in a second. But yeah, man, that's the show today. Like I mentioned at the beginning of the show, if you're in here for the first time, appreciate you being here. Make sure you like this video, bare minimum. And bare maximum, hit that subscribe button. Because we want to get a production team. We want to get guys that put the thumbnails together, all this shit. You guys know the spiel if you're a fan of the show, and there are many. But in order to help us do that, we need you guys to sub, and every sub goes a long way. So if you're watching on YouTube, really appreciate that. If you're popping in late, you can watch every replay of the show right here on this channel, mobile friendly. Or if you're taking your lady on a date and you can't watch the podcast, but you want to give her a listen, make sure she's learning about ball, all the current happenings in football today, tomorrow, yesterday. You can find us on any audio platform, big or small, and that's updated daily. So we really appreciate you guys being here. And with that, I say, sayonara. Till tomorrow.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.